Morning, church. How's everyone doing? All right. We have a little bit of a different format today. Instead of preaching through a passage, we actually have a couple people from the Paris mission trip from our church in Richmond share testimony. So we're going to talk a little bit about what we did there, what were some of the things that we saw God working on our team and in the churches in Paris, and also with the people, with the athletes, and it's a lot, and we're just excited to be able to share with you what went on. But before that, let's do some French trivia. So we'll see if you know your French facts, okay? Here's the first one. Paris is fondly referred to as the city of fashion, lights, what else? Love, okay. Those are all very good ones. I thought it was a city of love, but it's actually a city of light because the Enlightenment happened there, and it's literally one of the first cities in the world that adopted street lighting. So that's pretty cool. Can y'all see this? I can move this a little bit if I need to. Okay. So you guys got an A on that one. Someone say light. Here's the next one. French people eat 30,000 tons of this every year. What do you guys think that is? Croissant, good guess. Croissants are pretty light, man. You gotta eat a lot to make up for 30,000 tons. Snails, oh man, you are correct. Average 500 snails per French resident per year. It's a lot of snails. You, did someone say you? 500 snails. So that's pretty cool. I did eat some snails when I was there. It was called escargot. It was very expensive. Each snail was $3. There were six snails, $18. Super expensive. I don't really want to go back and eat it again. It wasn't that great. It was for the experience, just so I can boast that I ate snails in Paris. So that was why I ate it. So this was the team. There were nine of us. Helen, actually, she's sitting right there. She got COVID like a couple days before the trip. So she wasn't able to go. And a missionary, an IMB missionary from Prague, actually went in her place. But that's the nine of us right there. Sean and Kathy, they're here today. They're actually going to share with you the testimony. Christina, she's a college student, and Eric's also a college student. It was me, Jeff and Rose, and Bill. So that was our team. This was the first international mission trip our English congregation had ever gone on. We've done a lot of domestic things, working, you know, from like New York all the way down to Carolinas, doing a lot of church planting, construction, those kind of things. But we've never, as an English congregation, went on an international mission trip before. So this was pretty cool. And also because it was during the Olympic time, right? And so what a great opportunity for us to go to Paris during the Olympics. So here's some of the numbers you might not know. During the Olympic, just people from all around the world gathered in Paris. And so that was an opportunity for us to share the gospel with people there. 13 million of them were going to be spectators. So that's how many people were flooding into the city. 11 million were actually people that lived in the city, and there were about 11,000 Olympic athletes. And so that's 24 million opportunities to share the gospel. For us, it was an incredible experience. I think you hear Kathy and Sean talk about that a little bit later, but you know what a great opportunity where we didn't have to go everywhere, right? The world was literally pouring into that one place. And it was just so amazing to be able to interact with people from all over the world. One of the things that I did, when we got there, we split into multiple teams. One of the team that I was on, we went to Paris Disneyland. Anyone been there? So that was pretty cool. I got to talk to people because most of them were tourists going there. People in Denmark, from the UK, from Germany. And so we got to talk to them a lot about the gospel. They were actually very open, you know, which was it was interesting for me because I thought they wanted to go to Disney and just kind of do a lot of things, but they were very willing to stop and just chat with us. And we have a pin later I'll show you that we used to talk about the gospel. So Eric and Sujeon were the IMB missionaries that we worked with in Paris. They are based in Paris, the city, and their job there was to work with the Chinese churches in Paris. For this mission trip, there were about 8 Chinese churches that we worked with. And so we were out with them in different parts of Paris. Those were the 4 main areas that we went to. So this is Paris Central. You got the Eiffel Tower here, the Arc de Triomphe. Most of the Olympic stuff was kind of going on in this area. So we were on the east side and down here. That's where most of the Chinese people were concentrated and where most of the Chinese churches were. So we worked with people from there. I think Kathy and Sean, they were up here a little bit. I was down here in the suburbs, and then this was like inner city stuff. And then there was the 13th borough. So we worked with the churches there, interacting with just local Paris people, with the Chinese people there, just people around the world. It was such an amazing experience. Erin and Sujeon, I think it's their 4th year in Paris working with the Chinese churches. So I would actually encourage you to send an email here, Tiger8. They have a newsletter that they send out all the time, just updating us on the work that they're doing there in Paris. And during this particular week that we were there, there were 30 IMB missionaries and 300 mission volunteers. So the 300 were different churches in the US that went into the city of Paris during about a 3-week window. The week that we went were right in the beginning. So then there were like 2 other groups after us. But it was such a great opportunity. We got to meet a lot of other US churches. We bunked with some of the North of South Carolina folks. It was an amazing time. A lot of these folks that were volunteering, it was also their first time doing an international mission trip. So we got to share experiences and, you know, get to spend a week together. This is how we shared the gospel. When we went, they had these pins. So I have one on my backpack there. But there's 3 versions of this. One's a torch. One is a vine headgear. What do you call those things? The one that like the Roman time they would wear over their head is like a bunch of vine. There's a name for it. Yeah, that one. And there was like a road track one. So the reason they're different colors is when we would approach people, we would say, hey, would you like an Olympic pin? Right. So these were some of the IMB interns, actually. They're college age students and they were sharing on the street. I think we were with this guy. Do you remember his name, Sean? Yeah, Parker. We were hanging out with Parker quite a bit. And so we would walk up to people and say, would you like an Olympic pin? And most people would say yes, right? Because it was the Olympic season. And we say, well, could we take a minute to share with you the meaning of these colors? And so the colors were meant to walk people through the gospel. So green is creation, like God created us, created the world. Black is the fall of man. So Adam and Eve, they sin. Now everything's broken. Then red is the blood of Jesus. Jesus died for our sins so that we may be reconciled to God. Blue is faith, which means if you accept Jesus in faith, then you are saved. And then white is your sin is washed white as snow. So we kind of walked them through. That was like my super express version, right? But we would spend time kind of talking through some of the colors. And some people would literally stand there with us. I had a lady talk with me about this, about the gospel for about 45 minutes. So she just kind of talked. So it kind of depends. Some people are like, okay, great. Thank you for the pin. Then they kind of walk off. Others, they want to know more and they want to talk to you. So that was pretty cool. This was such a wonderful tool to just be able to talk to people. We also handed out a lot of goodie bags to folks. So what I want to do next is to show you a video. It's about 6 minutes of just the different things we did there. And then Sean and Kathy is going to come up afterwards and share testimonies of what we actually did there and some of the personal interactions that they had with folks there. But for me, it was, you know, I actually work at the International Mission Board. I'm going on about my 10th year now, but I've never actually been on an international mission trip and have never worked with the IMB people on the field. In case you guys didn't know, Pastor Daniel and his wife, They were in Budapest as IMB missionaries there for many years. And so that's the kind of work, right? They were working a lot with the Chinese churches there as well. And so it, for me personally, it was kind of weird being in a Chinese church in Paris and they spoke French instead of here, you know, Chinese church in America that spoke English. So it was very jarring for me to see all these like Asian, especially like second gen, like you guys just speaking in French. But it was also super cool. Most of them spoke English. So that was really awesome for us. None of our team members spoke French. We could get by with some Mandarin and some Cantonese. Surprisingly, a lot of the churches in Paris were Cantonese speakers. And so if you guys ever want to go to Paris and you speak Cantonese, this would be a good experience. But I'm going to play the video. We can watch it. And then after that, Kathy and Sean, you guys can come up and make sure you click on the mic.
Strength to move. Hey,
Sean to come up, you guys can share. Make sure you hold on to the pin when you're talking.
Hi everyone, my name is Sean. I was also part of the Paris Mission team, as you saw. It was a super great event, week that we had in Paris. We had a lot of preparation during the time, so it definitely helped us to be able to practice sharing our testimonies and sharing with people the actual, you know, Word of God. When we first got there, we paired up with Eric Heikendahl, and then we went to kind of like the hood of Paris, and that was pretty interesting to see that. They thought that Jeff was my coach and that I was an athlete because of like the stuff that we were wearing. And I guess that like helped the validity of what we were saying. And then we were like, oh, like, we're actually here to talk about Jesus Christ. And like, whoa, like, oh, we thought you were like a rower. I was like, okay, like whatever works. But yeah, we got to help train up the Chinese churches that were there because they had never gone out and actually shared the gospel before. And that was like a really cool experience. My Chinese there was very, very good. And as soon as I came back, I lost it. I really like, I learned all these new words. I didn't know how to say like Jesus and like and like Chinese or anything, but it just came there. A really cool thing that I had was this experience. For 3 days, we were in this kind of hood of Paris, and there were all these prostitutes that were around that area. And the first couple of days, they were willing to take the bags, but they didn't really want to talk to us or anything. Like, they didn't want to pray. But on the last day, I was like, yo, I'm not coming back with any more bags. Like, please, like, can I at least pray for you? And I was able to share my testimony with them and like at least be able to pray for them. So that was just a really cool experience. And just being able to interact with all these Paris people. A lot of them were very politically interested. They were like, oh, who are you going to vote for? And I was like, well, let me tell you about this bag. Like, you know. So it was just fun, like, navigating those conversations and stuff. Because we have this mindset because we're in Paris. Oh, shoot, we're never going to be here, like, ever again. We should try our very best to share with everyone. But the biggest thing for me was just, I should bring that mindset back here to Richmond because there's so many people that we interact with on the daily. And it's purely just, it's just a simple conversation, asking them, how are you doing, you know? And you can go into so much detail about your own life and get into theirs and hopefully, you know, spread the Word of God. But at the end of the day, like, God lets us, like, do this with them. It's not of our own works or anything. It's truly like the Holy Spirit working through these people. So I think that's why like prayer is a very like necessary thing for it. I think, yeah, another really cool thing was like IRL prayer, I guess in real time, like while someone was talking to someone, like they brought us over like, oh, let's pray for them. I was like, whoa, like this is crazy. I don't know. That was interesting to me. But yeah, we met a lot of great people, and the churches there are still going really strong, and they're still sharing the gospel. I think they're making like a monthly thing that they do. They just go out and yeah. So, oh yeah, I also like a lot of Chinese people didn't trust me at first because I'm half Caucasian, half Chinese. So I had to like prove to them. I was like, I'm half Chinese. My mom's from my heart being like, please. And they're like, oh, okay. Like they thought I was trying to sell. Anyways, but yeah, that's my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to share parent trip testimony. My name is Kathy. So we went to our team, the church sent us all the way to China, to parents, supposed to express God's love. But actually, at the same time, we also receive a lot of love from our church, from this church, and from parents' local church. You know, before we leave, our brothers, sisters, and they give us a lot of help, you know, besides the we do the fundraising, the donation they provide for us, make the trips available, possible for us. And also, I remember Sister Grace, she's from like, she gave me this Chinese, like a hobao. I don't know if you know that she bought from like New York City. It's like you need it and they packed to me. So during the trip, we speak a lot every day. And then, so one day I just lost my voice, and there's a pop, this medicine, and she prepared for me, just become my lifesaver, and the worst keep going on. And there's another sister, Alice, she, so the parent, she gave me like a safe proof bag, so I wear every day, so you can carry in front, you know, in Paris, there's a lot of pocket things. And there's also, Brother Heming, she took the whole Paris team to airport, and we thanked him. He said, that's at least the way I can do for your trip, for the missionaries. So, I mean, this the brother and sisters, their love to Jesus Christ and their support to the mission trip, we got the most benefit. That's, I feel like it's so, so graceful for that. And then, so once we got there, the parents' local trip, that also means a lot. They make us feel like a family. And then they take care of us, not only, so every day we have a long travel, so like a half an hour's bus drive, and then there's like a 1 hour metro, and then walk almost a half an hour to get to our local church. So me and Pastor Carter, actually Eric, we are same team. We are in the Anthony part. And then the parents' trip, you know, in parents, you know, they have their bathroom, their water supplies, not as convenient as in the U.S. And the long trip, we and then the church not only provide us clean and free, you know, normally public, you have to pay for bathroom, and we can refill our water bottle. And then also you see the delicious food, and then the care and the love they gave us, and this also, and this great feeling in another city, another country. And then we pair together. You see in the video you saw Pastor Carter before the first day before we head out, and Pastor Carter gave a short training for everybody, and he was speaking English, and this girl beside him this translate to parents, and there's another lady. She translated French to Wenzhouhua. It's like, this is an international mission team. And that's really, during that trip, we partner with the local people. They normally, everybody speak pretty good since the Chinese church. They speak pretty good Chinese and the French. And we speak, like most of us speak Chinese and the English. And so two of us together, we can we can spread the gospel in Chinese, English, and then French, and then just like not in the, even all the way in Paris, we didn't feel like so many language barrier. And that's great things. And then we walk together. A lot of them even think they claim they never done this before. But when we work together and we encourage each other and take care of each other, just feel like they haven't done this for many, many times. And then so during the time, just like Sean said, since we are there, we just on the times limited, we try to every single day, we try to reach as many people as we could. And to spread the gospel to know people. And then, so the one thing on top was the tool we, yeah, that's what we wear and during this trip. And then on the top of what Pastor Carter just introduced for the pin, not only the color, we also show this, you know, this the frames kind of gold. We said the gold is the Olympic season, right? It's the gold represents the best. And so in this world, money is not the best. The power is not the best. Jesus Christ is the best. And then in the next life, you know, it's like heaven is the best. So we gave you not only the pain, we gave the very best to you. And we invite you to to believe and trust that this is a great. Jesus Christ can bring the best of best to our life. And so this is a very powerful tool. And there's a lot of people not only use it, accept the pain and also accept the message. That's you know, it's a great feeling of this. And so when they during the trips, there's a lot of things we is unexpected. Just like Sister Helen, we well planned long time. We worked together so hard. Fundraising, we get training all together. And the day before, we got the tickets ready, and so she got COVID and couldn't go. And then this is the whole team, they invited Chris, another sister, she's a missionary, and then she joined our team and worked with us all this along. And then so like Sean mentioned, and in the one location, most time we talk to the Chinese and local people, and then there's the people from other country, but this especially park, so one team have to work with homeless, like a drunk and drug dealer, and even prostitutes. And then so, you know, when we spend like a God's love to everybody, anybody we can reach. And that's also accident is like a one person to get drunk. They keep bother our like our team, like a female missionaries. And then so we had to call the police and then to take him away. And then the next day, we just switch to some men missionaries and they continue to spread the gospel in this location. So the mission teams never ends, no matter what happens. So when I was one time I remember the most, once a local girl, we was in front of the metro station. There's a lot of people come and goes, and then we reach out to people. And there's one girl said, "Oh, I just this is the testimony I gave. You can start a little bit in the video." She said, "I just study in the school, very close by to the metro. How come I never seen you guys before? And that's the first time." She feels like waiting for. We're so eager to know, and then we wanted this. Are you gonna come back tomorrow? I'm gonna bring my friends here. Well, so sadly we have to leave the next day. But yeah, so I'm so glad that the local church, they are still doing this every once a month. You know, hopefully, she and her friends can have an opportunity to hear this the gospel. And then so for me. There's another very touching and wonderful things for me to see our team, these young people. They are so eager to, you know, involve this mission trip and then give the gospel. There's like Christina. She's a new believer. She's only like less than a year, and we didn't know her that well. She's my parents' roommate, but she did so well. And then this is, we walk every day, like 5-8 miles a day. And this was a pretty hard work. But she said, this mission trip is fun. And then she did a lot of translation work, and then also led people to the gospel. So she did very impress us. And so Eric, he's also in college students. And then actually Eric, Christina, and Sean, they are same age. And so he's working hard and his partner with a very older lady. And then they work together in the bonding and helping, laughing together. It's, you don't see that like very often. So it's like a very handsome American. He's also like a half Korean, half American. And with a very older Chinese lady and walking on the street side by side. We work together and have a lot of fun. And also, Sean and I, we are not in the same team. And we only have opportunity to work together one day. But I watched him working on the metro, in front of the metro station. That's really impressed me. He was greeting like a lot of people in French and gave testimony in Chinese. And that's amazing for me. And I'm so proud to see that. You know, so I think if I wasn't seeing with my own eye, probably I won't believe anybody who told me that. So, but it's very impressive, you know, see the young people and then they in the field and then they're working so hard, they're so involved, and it's also enjoy. So our team, this is the whole mission team. This is very organized, very nice. It's a great experience. I wish that everybody has that opportunity to experience it. And then Jeff is the leader. He's every morning we have a devotion. He will let us know what to expect, where we're going, what we're going to do today. And then Bill, he will nicely prepare the nice, delicious French pastry in the devotion so we can share. And then Rose, she's pack breakfast and lunch for the young people and also bring the dinner back for whoever missed it. And then Pastor Carter is our GPS. Follow him, we won't get lost. So this is a great team and they all work together. And Rose called our team the dream team. I totally agree. So another thing else, that during this, it's very normal to get reject when you do the mission trip. And the best, it's a spiritual war. So we get a lot of turn downs, but they won't it won't let us down. And then but it's encouraged to work harder. And then that's also led by the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of acceptance from people. So after the 5 days missionary in four major Chinese area of parents, the Chinese missionary team has distributed, like it's also in the video, I want this to reimburse, the gospel material, 5,038 items. Olympic pins is 1,155. And then so made the gospel conversation 1,219th and led 112 people to the her professional faith in Christ. I was really enjoy, and then thanks God for his leading and the encouraging and the protection in the trip. And then also very thankful and brother and sisters and all the prayer and then all the support, everything you've done for us to support us. Thank you so much.
Like Kathy and Sean mentioned, Sean kept going around. He's like, what's the Hunsi Er? That was like his opening statement, which means a mixed blood child. Because people, he has like a face you don't trust. So anyway, he was going around approaching all the Chinese people saying I'm a mixed blood to try to get some street cred. But Kathy was also right. It was so awesome to watch all these churches. They, like this church, these eight that we work with, they have never gone out to their community. Like literally not even one step out of their church to reach out to their community. So their goal was to reach Chinese people, right? And that's all they did. But most of these churches were not located in areas. Actually, some of them were not located in Chinese concentrated areas. And so there, especially like the downtown ones where it's super diverse, the church that Sean mentioned where they were dealing a lot more with like the the sketchy area in town, they it was mostly Middle Easterns. And so they that church had never really engaged with their Middle Eastern neighbors. And so this was really the first time all these eight churches were challenged to reach people just at their doorstep, you know. And so that would be a challenge for us to, back in Richmond, here in Charlottesville, how would GFCC engage with people just at your doorstep, right? UVA, Charlottesville, it's a pretty diverse city. And so how would you engage and interact with people like that? And none of us could speak French. We kind of like tried to grab whatever phrase we could while we were there. One of the churches that I worked with, they had a, it was like an evangelistic show coming up the next day. And so we were handing out flyers. And so the Asian lady said, just say tsuo. Tsuo in Chinese, it means toilet. So I'm like, I could say that. So I just kept going around saying tsuo to people. Tsuo, tsuo, tsuo. I thought it meant free, right? It was a free show. Okay, here's tsuo, tsuo. It's going around. And so after the show had finished, you know, we were like middle of the week going in. I was handing out bags, like the goodie bags with the gospel tracts. And so I kept saying tsuo because I thought it said free. I'm like, tsuo, tsuo, giving to people. And then I realized it meant today. So it wasn't free. I was just going around telling people today, today, today. You know, no wonder they had like a weird look at me. Like, why is this Asian person yelling today and handing me a bag? So anyway, we did what we could, you know, with the language barriers, but it was very cool. The other phrase I learned was parlez-vous anglais, which is, do you speak English? It's like the only thing I could say in French is, do you speak English? But it was very interesting because it puts you out of your normal comfort zone. Like, you're in a place where you don't speak the language, you don't know the culture, you're working with people you've never worked with. And so, like Kathy and Shaw said, you were very conscious that you were there to share the gospel. And, you know, even if you get rejected, even if you're going through a lot of hardship, that was still the first thing on your mind. And so every day we woke up, we're like, we're going out and sharing the gospel, you know, regardless of what goes on. And so I think that kind of mindset is something that we don't normally have here because we're just so comfortable. We go through the day to day and we don't even think about it. So I think it really challenged our team, and we brought some of that back to Richmond. And like I said, if y'all have never been on a mission trip before, you know, start local and then see if you can join some other folks that go on the mission train. Next year, I think there's two options we're considering with our church. One is Taiwan, and another maybe but might not happen is South Korea. So if you guys are interested, you know, come talk to Pastor Daniel or An Shimo or myself or Winnie, and then maybe we can tag team on it. But that's our sharing for today, and I just hope that this really encouraged you. It also challenged you to be more deliberate about sharing your faith. You know, it's something that is very precious and given to us freely, and so I pray that you will kind of pass that on to people around you, whether that's your family members or your friends at college. You know, invite them to your small groups, invite them to hear us so they can hear the gospel. So let me just end in a prayer. I do believe there is lunch afterwards, so we're just going to hang out here till lunch is ready. But I pray that today it has encouraged you. I pray that God will give each of you opportunities to go on a mission trip. Make sure you say you want to go. You know, don't continue to be in the background. And I believe that you will be immensely blessed if you go on mission trips. All right, let's pray.